When you are inclined to worry, don't do it. Hello, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, he's a teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, it is said that there are two classes of things we should not worry about. Things we can help, and things we cannot help. Here's the principle. Things we can make better, we should make better, and not fret about them. Things we cannot help or cannot change, we should accept as God's will for us, and make no complaint about them. Well, in just a moment, Kenneth Wong tells us that if we faithfully applied this very simple principle, it could eliminate all worrying from our lives.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to have you with us again. No worries. I'm sure you have heard of that expression before. And we often hear it said to others to reassure them that everything is in control and that there is nothing to worry about. Except that the reality often is far from that. Although we say no worries to others up front, there are plenty of worries in the back room. We may project an outward facade of no worries, but inwardly, we may be carrying plenty of them. So this is a common expression which we often hear in some places, and we're going to use this for the title of these two talks. And these will be based on the biblical perspective as presented in Psalm 37 and the first 8 verses. Let me read them to you. Psalm 37, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I wonder if you had noticed the phrase do not fret or fret not occurring 3 times within the 8 verses that we have read. And this is the key phrase that brings out our subject of worries. Do not fret first occurs in verse 1. Do not fret because of evil doers. Then again in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. And then finally in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So this passage is mainly about fretting or worrying. And that's the common lot of man. But remember, if you are a believer in Christ, you're a new man in Christ, so that this need not be your lot. It has been well said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Now, I have a nice rocking chair at home, which is my favorite spot for reading or thinking. But that's the one thing you want to avoid, just sitting down and worrying, but not getting anywhere. And that's the whole purpose for us to consider this subject in this series of talks today and tomorrow. Let's begin with the very first verse of Psalm 37. And here we are looking at the core of the subject. And the key word is fretting. And we are mainly talking about worry. Let's read that verse again. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Now here the context is oppression and fear of evildoers. But you can apply this to almost any form of evil that may befall us, such as bad things happening to God's people. That happens. And when that happens, it threatens to cause us to fret, to worry. The dictionary meanings of the word fret include vexed, being angry, being weary or tired, being eroded, eaten into, having frayed nerves, getting agitated and irritated, and therefore getting disturbed. No one needs to be taught how to worry. It almost seems to come naturally to us, just like sin. In fact, that's what it is. It's really a sin. And that's a good starting point to deal with the problem of worry. It's to begin to recognize it as something we should not be living with. So we don't need to be taught how to worry, but we need to learn how not to worry. And that's what we're exploring in Psalm 37. The tendency to worry is actually a natural and psychological response mechanism. But often the problem is that it's overused till it becomes a hindrance rather than a help. So if I am concerned about something or someone, that's a good thing. But it becomes a problem when I get consumed by it. And when that happens, we are no longer just concerned, but consumed. And then it becomes an obsession, even to the point of an addiction that controls us. And you know, this can happen to all manner of good things when we indulge in them in inordinate amounts and when they get improperly handled. The root of worrying is self. But as is often the case, Satan will exploit this in order to undermine our walk in faith. When we worry, we squander time and energy away. It renders us ineffective and unproductive. Let me bring you through the process by which worry comes about. It first begins with situation, when we look outward. Not all evidence is always visible or known to our senses. A good simple illustration is the iceberg. We can identify an iceberg by the visible top 10% above the waterline, but that is just an indication of the 90% of the huge mass that exists below the waterline but is generally invisible and therefore potentially far more dangerous. So that's the first stage, situation. And this can lead to a second stage, which we can call imagination, when we look inward. Our projections are often based on presumptions of what we see. Let me give you an example. I once injured my big toe on my foot. It came about through some minor thing, almost unnoticeable. And then the pain and the discomfort grew, and it soon grew to be blue and black in color. What began as a small and relatively minor injury soon began to take on frightening proportions as the unfamiliar symptoms began to show. And when you see it turning black and blue, you begin to wonder, what is going to happen? Is it gangrene setting in? And then the imagination grows and you wonder if it will end up having to be amputated and things like that. So this is how a situation can degenerate with imagination of a negative kind when we allow it to run riot. And the third stage of the process can be called apprehension, which means our attitudinal response to both the external as well as the internal perceptions, which you have considered in the previous two stages, situation and imagination, when we look outward and when we look inward. And when we have this kind of apprehension, it can lead to wrong conclusions, wrong actions, and wrong reactions, which is the danger of worry. Now, worriers worry about almost everything and anything. We can be worrying about what was said or what wasn't said. We can worry about what might happen and what hasn't happened, which should have happened by now. This is a vicious, never-ending cycle of needless projections if we allow that to happen. So let's look at what counter-responses or attitudes we can have in order to wage a war on worry, an apt phrase to use, because we literally have to work hard to wage a war on worry. It doesn't come naturally or easily. And there are four ways to be weaned from worry, as we read on in Psalm 37. And here is the first one. It's trusting. And this is about the Word, that is the Word of God. We read about this in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. The Hebrew word that is translated trust here simply means to lean on and to be confident. That is to be confident in God, not your own understanding or sizing up of things and people in a particular situation. Now, trusting in the Lord is radically different from the world's slapstick approach, which is to say things like, don't worry, just be happy, or every cloud has a silver lining. Because some days are so gloomy and the clouds so dark, because the sun is not shining, there is just no lining to the cloud. So it doesn't begin by trying to cheer up or trying to psych yourself up to think optimistically or positively. It begins by placing your trust in God, who alone is trustworthy. Now, I find the word trust the most personal and practical action word for exercising faith or believing. To believe is to trust. And the connotation of that particular word trust is to trust someone rather than something. We trust the person rather than a principle. We believe in a principle, but we trust the person. So we can only trust someone we know and we can confide in. So you see, faith is basically relational. It's not just doctrinal. Therefore, true faith is first based on knowing the person of Jesus Christ and then His promises as revealed in the Word of God. The cure for worry is to take the Word of God and then to take God at His Word. You can be a great Bible scholar and yet not put your trust in God. You know all about Him, but you don't really know Him. So that's the critical thing. Not only to take the Word of God, but to take God at His Word. And practically, this is what it means. We consider what God says about an issue or a situation at hand, and then we meditate and mull over it till it replaces our own take on the situation. We change our mind to God's mind, our word to His Word. And this is not just hanging or clinging on by a thin thread, but really nourishing our faith by feeding on the Word of God. So it's a strong grip. Notice it says in the verse we have read in verse 3, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. So this is a reference to what we have been talking about. Let's live by the Word of God, as Jesus said when He was tempted in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But not only live by the word, also let the word live in you. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Live by the word and let the word live in you. You know, God should never be our last resort. In fact, He should be our first resort, and then be our continual resort. I find that very interesting phrase in Psalm 71. Let me read that to you. Psalm 71, verse 3. Be my strong refuge, to which I make resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And then down in verse 5 it says, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. So there we have it, trust. And looking to God as our first and continual resort, not our last resort. So that's what trusting means, and in particular, trusting in the Word of God. And that's the first way of being weaned or separated from the problem of worry. Here is the second one, in the next verse 4, where we read about delighting, and this is about worship. So here is the second way of being weaned from worry. Let me read to you Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I want you to notice these two words and the order in which they appear. The first is delight, and the second is desire. The flesh, or our sinful nature, would insist on having its own desires first, in order to be delighted in ourselves. But that's the natural order. Put my desires first in order to be delighted. But the spiritual order is the one given here in verse 4. It begins with delight and then followed by desires. The point in delight preceding desire is to shift the paradigm from self to God. It's not what I want, but what God wants that matters first. God is to be our delight, our comfort, our joy. It's not just good and favorable situations. It is not a happiness which is dependent on happenings. It is centered on God who changes not. And this is true and lasting happiness and joy. Well, let's take the question one step more. What does it mean, therefore, to delight in God? Well, to delight in the Lord is to delight in His Word. We read in the very first Psalm, verse 2, about the characteristic of the righteous man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. So delighting in the Lord is not an airy-fairy kind of feel-good experience. It is cultivating and nurturing a love and a delight in reading His Word and letting it get into our soul and our system. So we combat worry with prayer and with praise, in other words, with worship, delighting in God. Often our praying can be too preoccupied with needs, and that can be a false front for worrying. Now that doesn't mean we should be reticent about bringing our needs and requests to God. We should do that, and we are encouraged to do that. But there is a wrong sense in which we pile need and request after need and request without faith, without believing, and we continue to worry. So we are worrying instead of worshiping. And if you have ever found yourself doing that even while you are lifting up your prayers to God, all the worrying thoughts are circling around in your mind. You're not doing it right. And that's when we need to stop, to take stock, and to move back into praise and thanksgiving, because that is a declaration that God is in full control, not men or I myself. And the wonderful thing is that it works because it pins all the hopes on God. It takes everything out of my hands and puts them into His. And therefore, I can delight and I can praise and thank Him right now in the midst of circumstances, and not just when things begin to turn better. Let me illustrate this by relating to you a little incident which happened to me some time back, and it served as a refresher course, a reminder to me of this basic principle of putting God first, where He belongs, by delighting in Him, by worshiping Him, by thanking Him, by praising Him in the midst of situations which seem baffling, and then seeing Him begin to work to turn things around. Now, one day I was just having to run some errands and then go to the bank to get some things done. And as usual, I would try to line up a couple of things in order to maximize the journey, get the most done out of that time, you know. When I had finally done all my other errands and was about to get out of my car to go to the bank, I was searching for my bank book and I couldn't find it. So I checked around the inside of the car, nothing. I looked around outside the car, under the car. Maybe I had accidentally dropped it while opening the door, something like that. Nowhere to be found. And then there was a sudden minor panic growing. It's not a big thing, but it's really inconvenient, you know. You not only can't do what you want to do immediately, but you have to go through the whole process of verifying your identity and getting a new bank book done, etc. So that's not something you look forward to. But as all these thoughts and worries began to grow in me, I was reminded of this principle. So I sat down in the car, closed the door and the windows, and I began lifting up my spirit to God in praise and thanksgiving, rather than just praying about it. If I had done that, that is, to lift up my requests in prayer, it would be circling around my own thoughts and frettings and worries. There certainly wouldn't have been real prayer at all, even if I had tried, because my mind would have been working overtime, trying to spin out solutions within my own limited box of worrying thoughts. But after I had lifted up my heart and my mind and my spirit to Him in praise and thanksgiving, in the situation, for the situation, not in spite of it, I was totally released to recognize that everything is under His full control. And then I could go about sensibly doing the next logical thing, which is to go back to the places that I have last visited and checked it out. When I went back to the same petrol station that I had earlier filled up, I recognized the friendly guy who served me, and I thought, this must be it. He must have found the bank book that I dropped somewhere. But he said, sorry, sir. No, he never saw it. So I went back into the counter to check with them, but I needn't have gone further, because right at the entrance of the service shop, there was an ice cream freezer, and on top of the sliding glass door stood my bank book. It really looked like it had been waiting for me for 2 hours to pick it up. And that was exactly what happened. It was at the entrance to the shop, and so many people had come in and gone out, but not a single one had noticed it. And all along, God knew exactly where it was. But it was not until I could delight myself in Him, before anything else changed in the outward situation, that I was in a state prepared to do something that is practical and moved me towards the solution. Whereas if I had been fuming and fretting, it would have gotten me further away from the solution. So friends, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, no worries can be more than just a slick slogan. It is something that can be real, because it comes by trusting in His word and by delighting in worship, which is what this program is all about, to be refreshed by the Lord's presence and to be reached by His word.
Many of us worry about anything and everything. It can become a never-ending vicious cycle. But as we just heard, there is a cure. There is a way to combat worry. With prayer, with praise, and with worship. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow for another reflection from Kenneth Wong. Right now, though, we'd like to hear from you, and here's how you can contact us. Send us a text message, 9431-3813. That's 9431-3813. Or if you are still using snail mail, you can write to us, Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. Now, of course, we know that you can't join us each evening as much as we would like you to, but if you cannot, we invite you to visit our website. That's www.timesofrefreshing.asia. And there you'll be able to listen online. Or, if you would like, you can download the program to your smartphone or your MP3 player. And you can also subscribe to the Times of Refreshing podcast for automatic download through iTunes. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.